Welcome to Drive Time GP, a podcast exclusively for healthcare professionals. Skin Deep, a novel approach to actinic keratosis.
Today we're talking about actinic keratoses or solar keratoses. These are commonly seen in fair-skinned people living in sunny climates like Australia. Repeated UV exposure can damage the DNA of the skin cells and also impair the skin's immune system. There are a wide range of available treatment options, from lesion-specific therapies such as cryotherapy and curettage, through to topical field therapies that treat not only the visible lesions, but also the dysplastic cells. It's not always clear if a lesion needs to be treated and which treatment provides the best outcome profile. Today we are joined by Emeritus Professor George Varagus from the University of Melbourne and the Royal Melbourne Hospital. We'll be talking about actinic keratoses and the latest advancements in its management, particularly in the primary healthcare setting. Welcome, George.
Hello, it's great to be here.
So most of us regularly see actinic keratoses in our clinical practice. Why should we be proactively diagnosing and treating these early? What's the risk of them turning into a skin cancer?
Well, it's important to treat it because the area that you're treating is a field of cancerization. And it's not only a cosmetic concern the patient has, but it is a concern of what are these lesions and what is the risk. The risk is that there's a 5 times more risk of skin cancer in that patient, and particularly of squamous cell carcinoma, 7 times, BCCs about 4 times, and melanoma, 3 times. So you will see these in this patient over the years. So it's a reflection of the skin type, their sun exposure, and their past exposure, particularly childhood exposure and exposure in their sport and activities. It all adds up. UV is immune suppressive, but it also is damaging. So it's important that we treat these in all ways.
And what sort of treatments are available to treat actinic keratoses, and what do patients generally want?
The patient wants a user-friendly method of treatment and to keep their skin clear and have a cosmetic clearance. So we have invasive physical treatments, and these are cryotherapy, curettage, which is a burning effect, and surgery, and also laser therapies and the photodynamic therapies. But we also have topical treatments that have been around for many, many years, 5-fluorouracil and imiquimod. So the treatments are usually single lesion treatments, but we also should recognise that the whole field can be treated when there are many lesions in a patient. So if pre-treatment of fields, we use salicylic acid and tretinoins and sometimes vitamin D creams. So it's also noted that some keratoses can spontaneously reduce on their own about 15%. But up to 20% risk of squamous cell carcinoma appearing has been reported. So today we'd like to talk about a new treatment which has 5-fluorouracil combined with salicylic acid, and it's called Acticerol, and it's been in Europe for 12 years.
So it's great to have this new treatment in our armament against actinic keratoses. But how effective is Acticerol at treating these lesions, and how does it actually compare to the other treatment options?
Acticerol is different because it's a user-friendly approach. It's in one bottle and it's easy for the patient to use, and you're getting a very good effect with a low dose of 5-fluorouracil as well as an efficient, effective method of treating your solar keratosis, both lesional and in a field area. The studies from Europe have shown an efficiency of 90% being very good and tolerated over 80% good in patients. A comparative study with cryotherapy has shown that there's less pain and after 6 weeks treatment, less recurrence on histological sectioning.
Where do you think Acticerol fits into the landscape of treatment for actinic keratoses?
I think it fits in very early because it's such an easy user-friendly treatment and it's got great efficacy. I would use it even before cryotherapy because it's going to give a better overall, deeper effect on that skin to remove those damaged cells that are invisible.
And what's been your experience with this product here in Australia?
Well, I've used it And I've had patients come back and they've had good results and the clearance is quite notable, particularly when I've used it on the face. So I think it's a great treatment both for lesions and field. And I think you'll realise that the field treatment will give you the better overall results as well.
Given that patients will often present with these lesions for cosmetic purposes, they don't like the way it looks. And historically, patients have been reluctant to use topical treatments because of the cosmetic effect of using those. What's the benefit of using Actikerol in this space?
Well, Actikerol comes as a lotion. So applying it as a brush like a nail polish, and it's clear, it will have a limited area that you can put it on. So it's not going to be like a cream that's going to be put all over the face and have a huge reaction. Also, it's a low-strength 5-fluorouracil, the lowest you can obtain at the moment, 0.5%, so the reaction will be less. And you can guide your reaction by the frequency of use and get good compliance.
So typically, how long does Actikerol take to work? And are there any issues with patient compliance?
Well, the treatment times has been looked at in German studies, and within 6 weeks, you have a reduction of 80% of the size and lesions are reduced by 70%. Clinical studies also comparatively have shown that at 4 weeks, there's a 50% clearance, and at 12 weeks, 84% clearance. After stopping, there's still improvement occurring. So applying Actikerol, the reaction that we see is a sign that it's working. It's redness, inflammation, irritation, burning, and some itch. Rarely, it would cause bleeding and erosion. So it's very important we educate patients well to understand what's going to happen. Always think of the side effect as something that you can manage by reducing the dose to 3 times a week. And be careful avoiding the sites that are delicate, like around the eyes, around the mouth, and thin skin on the sides of the temples. So monitor those patients a little bit more thoroughly, and the improvement of compliance will be our education to the patient and reviewing the patient perhaps that needs that review earlier when they're first using this.
Can you explain how the salicylic acid works in combination with the fluorouracil for the treatment of the actinic keratoses?
Yes, we've always done this in a way. This combination in one is fantastic to see. The keratolytic effect of salicylic acid is like peeling the bark of the tree. It's the thick stratum corneum that we're peeling off, those horny protuberances that you see as keratoses. And that is why that is applied. The added 5-fluorouracil inhibits the DNA and RNA. The AKs are an accelerated growth and they're abnormal growth. So the fluorouracil is absorbed and reduces that DNA production as well. So you've got a dose here of 0.5% 5-fluorouracil, which is the lowest dose in our marketplace. The combination, it avoids a lot of sensitivity because it's a low dose. We have to avoid it in pregnancy and in people that might be sensitive to aspirin and reduce the effect of it if people are seeing more irritation by using it 3 times a week.
So we've talked about the topical treatment of small lesions, but what about treating multiple keratoses or subclinical lesions? Is there evidence for this?
Yes, there's good evidence that field treatment is important to do, and this has happened over the last couple of decades. So the field treatment for Actikerol is 5 centimetres by 5 centimetres, and you do it one at a time. Subclinically, we're seeing more lesions being reduced, and that field of cancerisation is getting better over the period of that field treatment.
And in your experience, what should we be telling our patients about how to use and what to expect from this combined treatment before we prescribe it?
It comes as a bottle, as a liquid, and there's a brush within the bottle on the lid. So you apply the liquid to the lesion and it will dry quite quickly and form a film over the surface. This is good because it's a protection against sweat and irritation. You don't have to cover the lesion. The areas to avoid are hairy areas and any bleeding lesions. The next day, it's easy to wipe off the film with warm water and reapply it because it's a daily application for those weeks we've mentioned. We have to tell the patient that hats and sun protection are important as this agent is photosensitive.
Thank you so much for talking about actinic keratoses and this new combined treatment, Actikerol. What are your key messages that our GPs should take away from the discussion today?
I think actinic keratoses are important to treat, and Actikerol is a very user-friendly method. The patient has a trait of cancerization of their skin and therefore have a risk of squamous cell carcinoma, BCCs and melanoma. It's important to see these patients and to treat them regularly. Actikerol can be used with 10 single lesions at one sitting, and it can be used in field areas of 5 centimetres by 5. It's a brush application and it's very easy to use daily. We've used the salicylic acid for years with the 5-fluorouracil, but this combination is the lowest dose of 5-fluorouracil in Australia, 0.5%. So the reaction will be less. The side effects can be monitored and the reduction of the treatment if the side effects are too strong.
Thanks so much for sharing your wisdom and insight into this field today. It's been really insightful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please note the PBS information for Actikerol, fluorouracil and salicylic acid solution is not listed on the PBS. Before prescribing, please review the full product information. The substantiating references and product information can be obtained from the Drivetime Radio website. This interview was supported by Mayne Pharma and produced in January 2025. The views expressed are those of the individual speakers and may not represent those of the supporting organisation or Drivetime Radio Australia Proprietary Limited.